desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I'd like to share a message from you. I think the series that we have been on has relatively come to a conclusion. There possibly might be one or two more, but for the time being, like the Lord gave us another message to share for today on the subject of El Roi. You pronounce that El Roi, and that is the God who sees me. I wonder this morning, and you don't have to raise your hand. Actually, I prefer you not to. But I wonder if anyone here has a burden. If anybody has any anxiety, any stress, anyone feel trapped? Have you ever felt trapped in life, situations, maybe claustrophobic with life? Just seemed like there was no escape from circumstances and burdens and situations. Maybe you have been in a time that you feel alone. As one song said, and I was going to ask Renee to find it for me, and I forgot. I think I remember the song, though. But it talks about being alone in the darkness of despair. About being alone in the darkness of despair. Having inner turmoil, maybe you have a smile on your face and everyone around you thinks that everything is just wonderful, but yet inside there's just turmoil, struggling, problems surrounding you. If you have some of those things this morning, and if you don't, you probably have in the past, and you might again in the future. You see, even in serving the Lord, we're not exempt from the stresses of life. But you're not the first one to have gone through difficult times. You're not the only one that has gone through times that maybe you have been misunderstood, or it seems like no one really knows what you're going through or the burden that you feel. Or maybe I know sometimes young people especially, and I've heard expressed that by the nature of their temptations, they start feeling like something's wrong with me. If everything was right, I wouldn't be feeling these temptations as strongly or keenly as I am. But do you know there's nothing that's uncommon to man this morning? That life is a few days and what? It's full of trouble. Life, even for those that are saved, because we live in a sinful world, there's difficulties that we face in life. I'd like to read to you this morning from the 16th chapter of Genesis, and it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. We're not going to read the whole story, but it's a story about Hagar. And if you will recall, Sarah and Abraham, God had promised them a child. But when the child did not come in their timing, according to their timing, Sarah gave her handmaiden Hagar to her husband Abraham to be his concubine. So Abraham took her as a concubine, as it were, the second wife, and she had a child. And when she was expecting the child, Sarah began to feel like Hagar was looking on her with disdain. And because I'm having a child and you're not. And Sarah was very unhappy about that. What Sarah should have remembered was that she was the one that gave Hagar to her husband. But do you know, it seems like people have pretty good forgetters sometimes, doesn't it? She was responsible to a large extent for what took place. But in the 16th chapter, and we'll begin reading with the 6th verse. Let's begin with verse 5. It gives a little better context. And Sarah, and I'm just going to call her Sarah for the purpose of ease. Sarah said unto Abraham, "My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And it was Abram at the time. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. So here was the servant. Now she's my concubine. And now my wife is complaining to me that she's looking at her with disdain and scorn because I'm the one that's bearing Abram's child. And so she came to her husband. Abram just said, you know what? It's do with her what you want. Do with her how you please. And Sarah dealt heartily with her, and she fled from her face. Now, one of the commentators brought out how that word heartily in the Greek actually means it implies to afflict, possibly by inflicting stripes. So it sounds like that Sarah probably possibly beat Hagar for the attitude that she had, and it caused Hagar to want to distance herself from the problem. Have you ever wanted to distance yourself? Sarah, it was you that gave me to your husband, and now you're beating me. And so Hagar ran. She had been treated unjustly. And it is true that she might have looked at Sarah with some scorn. In other countries, and we've been in places, and we prayed with actually lots of women who were barren. And in some countries, there were men that were very unhappy and pushing their wife away, even though it might have been the responsibility, it might have lied with the man. And yet, because their wife did not bear them a child, it was seen as a great disgrace in some of the countries that we've been in. And I will say God has answered prayer multiple times and given children through prayer. But she did not have, it's possible that she did look on Sarah with some scorn. And so she was beaten or afflicted. She was not treated right because of it. And so she fled from her face. And it said the angel in verse 7, it said the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? In other words, where'd you come from and where are you going? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hand. And the angel said, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And then moving on down into the 13th verse for the sake of time, it said, she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. And in the Hebrew, she called him El Roi. El Roi, the God who sees me. El Roi. It is very interesting to know that it was this angel of the Lord that gave the promise, I will multiply thy seed. This, by all writings, this was actually Jehovah himself. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, that came down and revealed himself to Hagar. And remember, it said he found her by the fountain of water. It was her distress that caused her to run. It was her affliction that caused her to flee. And yet Jehovah found her. And I am so thankful this morning that in those times of distress, in the times of affliction, in the times of loneliness, in the times of darkness, that God will find you where you are. You may not be in the place that you were. And you may not be where you're intending to go, but in the wilderness, because see, Hagar was in the wilderness. She was in a desolate place, and yet the Lord found her. Doesn't that sound like Jehovah? He came as a shepherd seeking to save those that are lost. Seeking, looking for, trying to find them, looking for those that have run away. The Son of Man has come to seek and save those that were lost. Jesus came to minister to those that wander away. And sometimes there may be a reason why I've wandered. Because see, life, people say life isn't fair. She could say, I wandered away and now I'm in the wilderness in a desolate place because of your servants, Abraham and Sarah. And the angel said, Jehovah said, go back. But he did not send her back in her own strength or by her own merits. She was found by Jehovah. And you know, when the Lord finds us where we are, he instills that amazing grace that we sang about just a few minutes ago. When he finds us, I will say there have been many times in my life that I felt like I was in a wilderness. And not everybody knew I was in a wilderness. See, that's by nature a wilderness. It's a desolate place. There's solitude there. There's loneliness. Sometimes there's darkness. It might be affliction. It might be personal struggles. It might be just the burdens that life brings. And you feel like no one understands me. No one really knows where I'm at. And yet I want to remind us this morning that God is El Roi. He is the God who sees me. When no one else knows where I'm at, when no one else, sometimes people have on their phones, you can locate someone. So where are they at? And there's a locator service, and they can know exactly where someone is. Do you know the Lord knows exactly where we are this morning? And he did not send us to live life and face the stresses of life by ourselves. But when we feel that way, I want to remember that one of the names of God is El Roi. There's lots of different names that God had, and one of them was El Roi, and it was first given here by Hagar, the God that sees me. Moses, at the burning bush, God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, and he said, I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Do you know who was talking? That was El Roi. I have seen their affliction. When we feel like, and you notice I said feel, when we feel like that even God himself is not looking on us, El Roi sees our affliction. He knows what we're going through. And he told Moses, I've seen that by reason of their taskmaster, I see the suffering of my people and I know their sorrows. Is it not a comfort to have the Lord pay you a special visit when you're in the wilderness and say, I see you. I hear your cry. I know what you're going through. You're not in this by yourself. I'm here. I see you. When you feel like no one hears and no one sees, remember El Roi. Hannah, when she was praying in the temple, remember the story of Hannah? She was praying in the temple with great distress. And Eli came in and he said, woman, he said, put away your wine. Put away your wine, because he thought she was drunk. God knew she was not drunk. You see, sometimes you can be misjudged. And sometimes you might be misunderstood. And people look on your life and they make assumptions. You're in this condition because of this and that and the other. And they really have misperceived and they don't understand where you really are. Eli, the priest, misjudged. But El Roi was still there. And he knew, and he answered her prayer, and he gave her a child as well. Remember other times in the scripture where El Roi made an appearance? The Samaritan woman. That woman that was at the well, despised by, to a large extent, society. She'd been married, was it five times? She had a history. And do you realize that I'm sure her history was not an unknown in her community? That is the woman. She had been marked. I want to talk about the scarlet letter. She had been marked. This is the woman. And yet Jesus knew where she was. And it was not happenstance that Jesus walked by that well that day at that time. He saw that woman and he knew her need. And he ministered to her in her troubled past. And Jesus offered her water. I have something to give to you. El Roi has something to offer to us this morning. Zacchaeus, remember, he wanted to see Jesus. See, the Samaritan woman didn't even know about Jesus. She didn't have expectations, and El Roi showed up. Zacchaeus, on the other hand, he knew about Jesus, and he climbed a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. He was going to go to any extreme. But remember, the multitudes that followed Jesus were so often not just 30 or 50 or 100. There were thousands of people that followed Jesus. So when it said a multitude was coming down that road, no wonder Zacchaeus climbed a tree. But who are you going to spot out of thousands of people? And yet, El Roi stopped when he saw Zacchaeus and said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today." He saw a desire of his heart, and he ministered, and that day salvation came to the home of Zacchaeus because El Roi took time to stop. You have a need in your heart this morning, and this is the hope of the gospel that you can share with your neighbor. You can share with your family that God sees me. He sees you and he will come. Nathanael, remember the story of Nathanael? Philip had told Nathanael in the first book of John. He said, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the one that was prophesied." And Nathanael was, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And then later he saw Jesus. And Nathanael asked him a question. He says, "Whence knowest thou me? How did you even know me? You're talking like you know who I am." And Jesus said, "I saw thee when thou were yet under the tree." I saw you when you thought no one was looking and you thought no one knew where you were. El Roi looked and he saw you under the tree. You are not alone this morning. We have a Savior that loves us and cares for us. What about blind Bartimaeus? Blind Bartimaeus was there on the side of the road, again with a multitude, and he was crying out, "Lord, have mercy on me, son of David. Have mercy on me." And people were trying to shush him up. "Here, don't bother him. Just be quiet, be quiet." But he cried out louder, and when Jesus came by his way, what did Jesus do? He stopped and he asked him a question. He said, "What wilt thou that I do unto you?" You see, Bartimaeus was blind and he could not see. That's just like us sometimes. I don't see the future. I don't understand. Maybe I'm feeling spiritually blind and I don't know what to do. And yet the cry of our heart is heard by the Master and he sees us even when we can't see him. I'm comforted by that. I'm comforted by that with my loved ones, that even if they don't see Jesus, El Roi sees them. The widow of Nain. The widow of Nain, you can read about in the 7th chapter of Luke. Her son had died, and they were taking him to bury him. And she was grieving, and Jesus saw her, and he stopped her. He had compassion, and he raised the son to life. You see, Jesus sees our sorrow, and he's able to bring healing to it. The man at the pool of Bethesda, when there were others around him, and every time the water was troubled, and they would try to get there to receive healing, and then here comes Jesus, and he saw this man that had been lame for 38 years, surrounded by people, and yet forgotten because he said, there's nobody that can help me. If someone that's able to walk comes, they're helping some of their loved ones, and I'm here, no one's here to help me. You know, there might be times in life you look around and it seems like this one's getting assistance and it seems like everybody's praying for this person and it seems like I have a need and no one knows or no one seems to be carrying a burden for me. Jesus is coming by. See, Jesus came by when that man was forgotten right in the group. There was no one to help him, and El Roi came by and he healed him that day. He saw that man in his condition, surrounded by people. The good news is this morning that he sees us. He sees your tears. He sees your stress. He sees your anxiety. He sees and understands the questions that you have. He knows the hurts that you've had. And that's where Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, for the eyes of the Lord are where? They're over the righteous. And his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. There's a lot that could be said about the other side, but this morning I want you to remember El Roi, the God that sees me. Maybe I'm running. Maybe I'm in the wilderness. Maybe I'm by the pool in a group of people and I feel forsaken. Maybe it seems like life has brought unchangeable circumstances, like the widow of Nain, and yet El Roi came by her way and made a difference. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in their behalf. That's the God that we serve this morning, El Roi. So in closing, in Psalms 139, in the first verse, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all of my ways. This morning, is there an area in your life that you feel unseen? You know, people have a lot of struggles. Sometimes they feel like I'm just unseen. I want you to know that the Lord sees you this morning. He knows exactly where you are. He knows your name. He knows your burdens. And he knows your fears. But the question is then for us, will we trust him enough to allow him to minister when he sees us? Will we take the cup of water? Will we receive the healing? Will we take courage to know that I really am not in this battle by myself? I felt like I was bearing the weight of this. And El Roi saw me, and he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's one other place, as we conclude, I think about Peter, that was walking on water with Jesus. In obedience, he was walking on the water, but when he looked around, he began to sink. You remember what he did? He cried out and said, Lord, save me. And El Roi saw him where he was. And he stretched out his hand. You see, he saw where he went down in the waves. And if you feel like the waves are just, maybe you feel like sometimes we feel like we're sinking, but maybe you've been in a place in life that you actually feel like the water's covered your head. I want you to know that El Roi sees where you are and his hand is outstretched if you will lift your hand out to him. I'm thankful to have Jehovah and a God that sees me where I am this morning, and he sees you. Amen.